It's David Baines,
yep.
And I'm on in a caravan at Hazelgrove Park at Saltburn.
Wonderful. David, what is it about Saltburn that you particularly like, and in particular having your caravan here?
Well, Saltburn, there's a lot of musical festivals. I'm in the choir of Jeanette Wainwright, and there's plenty of things to do on the beach. I'm part of the Ebi drum group, which drums on every 2 weeks on a Sunday afternoon. I do solo singing at the Marine Club at Saltburn.
You're just an all round wonderful, talented individual. Listen, one of the questions we were putting to everybody who shares this experience of travelling up and down on the Saltburn Funicular Railway with us at Southside Broadcasting and Surrey and FM today is, can you remember the first time you actually travelled on this service?
No, I can't actually, because it's been here for so long. I mean, I'm 73 years young.
I can't believe that. I thought 37 at a day, really.
But I did bring a Chinese lady last week with a husband, and neither of them had been on this funicular. And they thoroughly enjoyed it.
You see, they might be Chinese, they might have super speed railways, they might have high technology, they might be one of the emerging economies of the world, but when it comes to a funicular lift, Saltburn has them beaten, doesn't it?
Oh, that's right, yeah. The reason the Chinese lady was here, because she's one of my tutors. I also teach Tai Chi.
I say, well, you know, this is something we need to do. I mean, Joe, I've often said, and I'm sure you confirm this, that, I mean, I know you've got a pilot's license, but we really need to have a Tai Chi instructor just to focus on that inner strength and scenario from that point of view.
Thank you. Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay, I think we're just about to be heading down. Joe, if you stay with us, we've been joined by a wonderful individual, whose name is?
Jan Kaywood.
Good to connect with you. Now, how are you connected with the Saltburn Funicular Railway, and how did you find out about the event today?
Oh, well, actually, I've been heavily connected because I've made two films about the lift.
Brilliant. It's a media person talking to another media person. It's what it's all about, really.
Yeah. Last summer, we spent 3 days here interviewing people in the lift, mm-hmm. and we've got a short film available here at the lift, anybody wants to know about it.
Clearly, we need to connect together on this particular one, because obviously today we're doing the non-stop radio show directly from the lift, so it's all connected together. I mean, have you brought a camera along today?
No, I haven't, but I'll leave a copy of the film with you. It's called 55 Seconds, and we've done a follow-up which is called 150, and that actually celebrates the restoration of the lift. We followed over the winter how it was being restored and rebuilt, and we've really enjoyed being here at Saltburn. It's a fabulous place.
Tell us a bit about your own background, because I know from filmmakers, I mean, whether we work with BAFTA award-winning directors, where we talk about, you know, people just doing their early cuts at the University of Lincoln and developing things from that point of view. MACE, of course, the Media Association of Central England we're connecting with. People often forget, but the guys like yourself are doing fantastic stuff here, which maybe doesn't get on the networks, but is still very much a record of our times.
Oh, yeah. To my knowledge, the North East Film Archive doesn't have very much here about Saltburn, and nothing on the lift, so we thought it was a gap. But I did design history, I love Victorian architecture, so it was a passion project. I wanted to be involved. It was on the community channel, so you can actually view it online.
And as you said, the 55 seconds refers to the actual time it takes to go from the top to the bottom, and obviously from the bottom to the top, which is marvellous. Are you able to stick around to travel up with us, or are you going off to actually do some surfing now?
I've actually got another appointment, but it's been lovely to meet you, and I wish you well with the record.
Well, likewise. And can we actually just quickly ask, do you have a web address that people can actually find out more details and probably invite you along to our studio in the not-too-distant future?
Yes, please. Our address is tinmanfilms.co.uk, and our mission is to find the heart and tell the story.
Like it. Good stuff. Fantastic stuff. Sharing, obviously, the attitude of gratitude which we have here at Southside Broadcasting. Now, back to our Tai Chi expert, if that's okay. The inner spirit is about my sort of focus in terms of how we're going, and when we're doing a non-stop radio thing today on a variety of other packages and so on, clearly we're connected with a whole variety of things and so on. How did you get involved with Tai Chi?
I had a serious medical problem when I left working offshore in the North Sea from Aberdeen on the Thistle platform. That was 20 years ago, and I was advised to see this master in Cornwall. I went down there for 9 years study, and since then, over the last 12 years, I've never had any medical problems whatsoever. In fact, over 10 years, I've never taken any drugs whatsoever.
Which is so much at the heart of when we start talking about complementary medicine, complementary therapy. Clearly, we're people.
It's all about the heart, the physical heart.
Yeah. Well, I mean, clearly, as I say, that whole notion of focusing on the energy is something which I know that people are listening live to us today at James Cook University Hospital. Yes, we're one of Western Europe's largest health centres, but this is something which is quite amazing. Joe, we kicked off this morning at around about 7:30, where I sort of launched with La Mer and a musical treat that was actually there from that point of view. Obviously, you're doing the studio manning of the desk from that perspective, but you are joining us later on today, is that right? Splendid. That's what we like to see, all good stuff from that point of view. Again, Jodie, who else is lined up as far as people at the top are concerned? Pause for thought here as Jodie Orton sort of looks at her. She's looking very good here, actually, Joe, because she's got... Jodie, it's all connected. We've got a whole range of things there. We've got Chief Executive of the Great Yorkshire, of course, Nigel Pulling, I believe, is online.
He is going to be ringing in... any minute.
Splendid. This is great. Okay, well, we will speak to Nigel in a bizarre routine because we've got lots of technology here and it's all working for that. And then after that, we have... momentary pause there from our perspective. We had a variety. We've got heaps of people coming along, Joe. It's all sort of working through. I think for the moment, we say happy to receive. Is there anything you'd like to promote about the other material that you're working with?
Well, yes. The project I'm working with, because I'm the acting chairman of the Hazel Grove Caravan Society, we're having major problems with the caravan park owners at the moment, and this goes back to the Courtham problem that was sold off in 5 years ago, the Courtham Common. I do have a confidential document from the Redcar and Cleburne which indicates the exact problems that occurred then. And we've inherited those problems on the park.
Okay. It's an interesting... I think we possibly might need to sort of have a look at this and all sorts of things, because obviously when you talk about confidentiality and an open radio show, etc., there are always challenges, so we might have to come back to you with that one. But again, just a reminder in terms of the thing, you're speaking very much as one of the occupants of a caravan on the park, which is titled the Hazel Grove Park. And clearly there's sort of interesting messages there. But I do like the Tai Chi. I do like the... not e-bar gum, but... E-by drum. I'll go to the foot of our stairs, or I'll go to the foot of our funicular lift. That, I think, is a cue, Joe, because I've got to take this other call from the Chief Executive Officer of the Great Yorkshire Show. Listen, we'll be back with you shortly. Jodie Orton will be our regular contactee. Hopefully you're recording all these things in the studio. It's all going swimmingly. Brilliant. Well, you say we're setting that scene. We checked out this morning that the health and safety was all sorted through. Jodie, how are you finding the whole experience?
Oh, it's great, yeah. I'm loving meeting everybody, and it's a really great experience.
Keeping us in order, you see. We are fully trained, fully sorted, and done in all sorts of magical ways. So, Joe, for the moment, happy trails. I've even lost count. What time have we got now, Jodie?
The time now is 9:45.
So 9:45, so 45 minutes has been wrapped up. It feels as though it's only been like 2.5 minutes. So I've been shooting up and down in all sorts of ways. Actually, I think this is our second journey up, actually. So it's
third journey.
Yeah, you know, well, you see, there we are, Joe. I mean, I'm hopeless without the women to coordinate us from this point of view. It's gone completely. Joe Hudson, many thanks indeed. I'll sort of pass over now, let you sort of sort out the rest of the bits and pieces. And by the way, any chance of a bit of Gilly Gilly, Austin Pfeffer, Cats and Ella Bogan by the Sea? Joe, just control yourself, my boy. This is good entertainment, etc. E-by-drum entertainment, in the best sort of sense of the word, etc. It's all there. It's on the Charles thing from that point of view. And, so we've got David Baines. This is fantastic stuff. Because one of the things, if people are listening to this, and obviously we're breaking this up into a whole series of podcasts as the whole thing proceeds, is that if folk are keen to actually contact us, and hopefully we'll come and do another feature, probably at the park, and actually talk to you about that, it'd be fantastic.
I've originated this vote on 38 Degrees website, social website.
Which is good. In fact, I'll just read this out, in fact, because it's worth doing. It's Vote, Vote, Vote on 38 Degrees website, which is www.38degrees.uservoice.com. And it's the number, the numbers 3 and 8, 38 degrees, then actually degrees.uservoice.com. And again, the strapline, very important, actually, in many ways, David. Stop unscrupulous park owners, UPOs, from ripping caravan owners off. In the UK, there are many unscrupulous caravan park owners, UPOs, who consistently charge 15% commission plus VAT when a caravan on their park is sold privately. The park owner has no input to the sale. They also charge the caravan owner £600 to move the caravan from the pitch to the main gate, maybe 100 metres. They also put a 10-year cap on the age of a caravan if it is sold, so the owner needs to either move off the site or buy another caravan. This is when the caravan's usable life can be more than 25 years. One UPO, unscrupulous park owner in North Yorkshire, has declared on their licence that any caravan owner living within a 15-mile radius of their site cannot own a caravan. For the UPO, this will guarantee at least a 50% disappearance of caravan owners, so the UPO can develop the land for their very lucrative park home developments. We need your vote. Thank you. This is serious stuff, David, but hopefully, so at least we've raised the profile from that point of view.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
More than happy to do so. And I think that's the call that's coming through for me from Nigel Pulling. So if we can actually connect with that, and this is going to be quite interesting in so many ways, because I can actually say, hello, Nigel, is that your good self? Ah, brilliant. OK, Nigel, you're through to Southside Broadcasting. It's an extraordinary sort of experience that we're doing today because, as I think you might have actually been informed in your role as Chief Executive Officer of the Yorkshire Agricultural Society, we're actually going into the Guinness Book of Records today for the longest ever radio show that's being produced from the Saltburn Funicular Lift. So good to hear your tones, Nigel. Yeah, exactly. I tell you, it's something I wasn't expecting. It's an added bonus and delight. And all I can say is, looking ahead, I know Bill Cowling is joining us on air next Thursday morning to talk about the fabulous Great Yorkshire Show. And let's face it, Nigel, Saltburn is in Yorkshire as well. So, you know, clearly it's nice to see that Saltburn flags up with the Yorkshire Agricultural Society in all sorts of ways. Is that right? Yep. No, exactly so. And it's brilliant stuff. Well, I have to say, what we'll need to do when we do all these things, Paul, we'll get you into a studio and we'll have a full ISDN link, because it's been extraordinary. But the lift bell has just gone up. We're just about to actually travel up the 55 seconds. I've got to ask you a question, Nigel. Have you ever travelled on the Saltburn Funicular Railway yourself? Well, I have to say, Nigel, we're going to have to sort that through. When we sort of commission you as one of our roving reporters, we're going to have to get you on this and you can join the whole experience, because it really is quite a superb experience. It's been brief. I've got to ask you those last two questions. I know I don't know most of the talking, but have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link on this Guinness World Record-breaking Southside Broadcasting and Siren FM attempt? Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic chat with me today, Nigel? Excellent. Well, hopefully we will meet up for the press day of the Great Yorkshire Show in what is literally just a week and a bit's time.
Yes, preparations are in full swing here, so we look to talking to you a little bit nearer and here before you know it.
Precisely so. Nigel Pulling, Chief Executive Officer of the Yorkshire Agricultural Society, and obviously well ahead of the Great Yorkshire Show, the show in Yorkshire, and indeed globally, it has to be said. I mean, we certainly say nationally. Many thanks indeed. Take care now. Thank you. And there we are. So Nigel Pulling there on a mobile phone, and quite an extraordinary thing. I'm not sure how much of that you actually picked up, but we see a whole range of other fine folk there. It's brilliant. Okay, David, many thanks indeed. We say happy trails for your good self.
Excellent.
Thanks for the interview.
No worries. A genuine delight. Okay, so we shall move in from that perspective. We'll gather the rest of the piece along, I think, if we're sorted through. Who else is going to actually join us now?
It's anybody else yet.
Well, there's a whole range of... We've got Stuart Easby there. Stuart, can we just actually sort of invite you to sort of go sort of do it to the head? It's Stuart Easby.
How are you? Good morning.
There we are,
well,
Stuart Easby.
Welcome to Saltburn.
Exactly. Jody, have a seat, because you're going to join us. Because for the benefit of the listener, this is something I thought was at one of our archives. But Stuart, as well as being our ace dialer vet, who I spoke about highly yesterday, as you recall.
Oh, yes.
Notice he's modelling what has become an archive expert there, the official Southside Broadcasting polo shirt.
Very nice. I think I need to get one of those.
4 years old, still going. Or even more, is it?
I think it's well over 4 years. I mean, we have sponsored by Farmer Nord there, www.farmernord.com. .co.uk, the 60s man, of course, Ian Lennox book, Media Matters Countrywide, some of the sort of events that we've covered there. Jodie, would you actually read them out?
Yeah, Ascot,
Shed, Mara.
Mara was a chap who actually raised over £9,000 for the Yorkshire Air Ambulance. Call Mara because he just sort of said it's, you know, gets to the bone and the heart of the matter.
Badminton, Hamley's Toys, the Newark and Notts County Show, Henley, the Royal Highland Show, the Chatsworth HT and Angling Fair, English Heritage, Scarborough Castle, Hickstead, Royal Windsor, Bramham HT, Cumberland Show, Barnard Castle Steam Fair and the Great Yorkshire Show.
Indeed, HT being horse trials. So you see, Jodie, as a relatively recent recruit, and I know you were keen... So what is this, Jodie?
Add to that Alex's debut, not only on a polo field, but the first time ever on a horse.
I'd like to say it first time in 30 years.
It's such fun.
We'll talk with you in a few moments, but I mean, Jodie, you see now from Los Angeles, Miami, you see the sort of global reach Southside brings you.
Obviously, yeah. Saltburn, my favourite place so far.
Would you like to just turn around as well, Stuart, because we actually get a line on that, because there on the back we see another range of other sort of folk, the Adventures of the Greedy Cow with Ian James, but that Attitude of Gratitude that's actually there, plus of course some people we would like to thank from those sort of views, including Diana Zupas, Fortnum and Mason, a whole range of scenarios. Stuart, many thanks, have a seat, you know, and let's talk, let's do this interview live from that. No, let me just, because obviously your mobile is always in all sorts of ways. Since we last spoke, you've been over to, share with us, because I know Safe Haven for Donkeys, very much at the heart of all sorts of things. Japan, I think, was the last thing, because we did the piece with the Japanese Embassy in GIAS, which was the Japanese Earthquake Animal Rescue Society. That's with right. David there.
Yep.
David.
Support, I think it is.
Exactly. And David Y. Benga, who speaks extraordinarily highly of the time he went there, because again, Southside Broadcasting. Oh, with your good self, of course. Didn't just mess around, and thanks to obviously one of our roving producers who does wonderful stuff for us, we coordinated the whole thing to enable you to actually get over there and actually help out shortly after the tsunami.
Indeed, yes, and that was we haven't spoken since then, and the whole thing was just sort of one of these another sort of amazing dreams come true sort of thing. Japan. Yeah, it was never on the list of sort of places to go until there was a tsunami and an earthquake.
This is the thing, I mean, we were like the international wreck of the radio broadcasting world here.
And then it was sort of, you know, how about sort of, you know, seeing what we're going to see what we can do? What can we do to help the animals from here? And as always with Southside, it's sort of a matter of sort of helping the people through helping their animals, and that, because they have been effectively sort of barred from their area, barred from their homes, and abandoned their pets. They had no alternative. So GIAS was there rescuing animals wherever they could, those that had been specifically requested and those that were just sort of, let's say, found roaming the streets. And that is still going on despite the sort of increasing clampdown on the exclusion zones around Fukushima. And these people are sort of undoubtedly sort of, well, they must be sort of running the risk of exposing themselves to considerable amounts of radiation. But, you know, I mean, that's a risk they're aware of. They have the Geiger counters, they have the protective clothing now, they've got the masks, they've got the decontamination system set up, both for the humans and for the animals. And the levels are dropping really quite dramatically. So, you know, when people say, are you glowing in the dark? I say, well, no more than usual, you know.
It's a cliche question. We never asked that at Southside Broadcasting.
But, you know, when the time I was there, even within sort of 3 or 4 kilometres of Fukushima and the nuclear reactors, which I never actually saw, but, I mean, I don't think there's much left to see. That level of radiation at that time was sort of 20 times the normal level. So, you know, if I'd been there for one day, it would have been the equivalent of just walking around for 20 days and somewhere anywhere else in the world, just about. So there wasn't that sort of enormous sort of risk. But the sort of long-term risks and the settlement risks of the dust and what have you, then who knows? And the really sad thing, I think, about it at the present moment, the bit that frustrates me more than anything else is that there is now the biggest animal experiment that's been conducted in the world, you know, and it wasn't planned. I mean, it wasn't licensed, it wasn't whatever, it just happened. And there are now millions of animals still there that with monitoring and with watching them sort of and monitoring them throughout the rest of their lives and at their death, then there's an enormous amount of information that can then be gained for when a similar sort of accident happens again, because it will somewhere.
We'll change the subject slightly now, Stuart, because we've just been speaking to Nigel Pulling from the Great Yorkshire Show, and one of the questions we've been putting to most of our folk this morning is, what was the first time they travelled on the Saltburn Funicular lift here? Now, have you ever travelled on the Saltburn Funicular lift?
No, I honestly don't think I've ever been to Saltburn before. I had to go via Redcar just so I could drive down part of the half marathon course that I ran several years ago.
I was going to actually remind you of that, which was fine. So here we are in a totally different environment. We're focusing this, I mean, as I said, the real co-star of the show today is very much this fantastic device built, I think, 130 odd years ago. Let's get that sorted out with the other day. Saltburn, of course, celebrating its 150th anniversary as a Victorian spa town. Totally green energy, totally sort of functioned by water. It sort of goes up and goes down on a regular basis. But just look outside, and I'll do what I want, actually, quite as the George Denning actually did with me earlier. You look at that view, and I defy you, whether you're actually in Japan at its height, in the various beaches there, or Honolulu, or Hawaii, or any of those. Isn't that a fabulous part of the Northeast?
It is absolutely amazing, isn't it? And, you know, and down there, there's, you know, even I can read the pier, National Pier of the Year 2009. And it is, I mean, it's just sort of so beautiful. And it's so, let's say, nicely... not sort of modernised, but sort of just, you know, still here, in very much the same way as it would have been when it was first built.
And genuinely, I know we've been on a number of projects, but this one, and we certainly will be hopefully continue to work with Saltburn extensively. I noticed that Ian Stevens, our singer, who does a fine Jim Reeves, etc. Have you met up with Ian before, Stuart?
Yeah, I have met Ian a couple of times, but I haven't heard him sing yet, so we have a treat in store there.
I think so. I'm sure he'll be joining us from that perspective. So we can't actually ask you that question, any memories of travelling up and down on the Saltburn Funicular Rift, but or lift even. But in terms of, as I say, looking at, we talked about Japan, clearly we also have you actively involved with the Safe Haven for Donkeys appeal, and indeed thanks to William Hill for providing another £500 earlier in the year to support that, with Chair Graham Harper duly delivered. Any plans for actually heading back to the Israeli-occupied Palestine or the Holy Land?
Well, I have got to get back there sometime soon, because, you know, it's just far too long since I was there, from various sort of commitments and what have you. But now that, let's say, things are relatively freer at home and I haven't got the animals that got lumped on me to sort of look after, etc., then I do stand more of a chance of getting back. And it's, let's say, pretty high on the list of priorities. The problem is, I also want to get back to Pakistan.
It's
a question of, you know, where and what can be done, whatever. But, you know, I think that sort of the trip to Pakistan was long enough to be able to ascertain what can be done to help, and that probably has already now been set in hands by Muslim Hands, bless them, who have an amazing network out there anyhow. And so to a certain extent, I think that the priorities would have to be sort of Palestine first, and then back to Japan. Japan is really, it's sort of a matter of sort of political lobbying, and in a way that can be done from this country just as easy as it can be from being there. Although, you know, it would be good to get back, without a doubt.
Keeping the global and the globalisation in the local reporting. So that's our broadcasting local, but not parochial, and other strap lines we can actually use. OK, let's have a seat, Stuart, because we wait for the lift to actually get sorted through, and obviously we're continuing going now. Just as I look outside there, see, obviously Jodie's taking a few other calls and things that are sorted through. Do we have any other messages that are coming around? I think she's actually speaking to one of our key producers there. We will actually get a mention for the bed and breakfast that kindly looked after Jodie and made sure she was duly cared for as well, and did a variety of bits and pieces. Linda Chilvers, I see, out there as well. Just keep your weather eye. She's the marketing assistant for Saltburn and Redcar Council. That's actually around from that point of view. She's fighting shy at the moment of actually joining us on this fabulous thing. Just a quick reminder, of course, that you're listening to Southside Broadcasting and Siren FM's The Midweek Drive Show on location at the Saltburn Funicular Lift in the fabulous world of Saltburn by the Sea, and also hopefully going into the Guinness World Records for the longest ever radio show and series of podcasts that have actually been recorded non-stop from the Saltburn Funicular Lift. So well done, Stuart, you're part of history again.
Amazing. I tell you, I mean, Southside is just something else, isn't it? You know, one day somebody rings you up and says, would you go and do a radio interview, and you think, oh, me, radio interview, we can't do that, you know, and a year and a half later I'm on a Palestinian mountainside castrating donkeys. It's all down to Southside, you know, and I think, wow, I mean, how did that happen? It's one of those sort of,
it's not so much a radio station, more a kind of life experience, really.
Absolutely, yes, yeah, it is. I mean, it's just another sort of, it's been fundamental on my sort of
where I am now, living the dream of, you know, living that the beautiful dream that, you know, that is possible for anybody.
Brilliant, exactly, from that point of view. It's interesting because originally, Stuart, I was thinking we'd be going up and down much more frequently than this, but clearly we're having to wait and get the balance. And I was actually informed by Linda, she did say that there might be some slight delays because it doesn't actually use any kind of petrol or oil technology, etc., from that point of view, or electricity at all. It has to wait for the waters to balance. So we can actually hear that dripping. It's not the rain, it's a glorious day, but it's the water that's actually just making sure that things balance.
So how does the water get pumped up? Or?
Well,
you see it coming out. Yeah. You can see it sort of leak. I think this is operated by water. But how does the water get up?
This is, again, we have to clearly call on our Victorian engineers to do this. I did have a look this morning, thanks to the engineers who were doing the health and safety tests, at the oubliette, as they said, a part that they actually go into just to check that all the brakes and everything else are sorted through. But I think it kind of operates not too dissimilarly, and I might be way off base here, but do you remember those, I think I used to see them as kind of Swiss little birds that used to bob down into the water and then bob up again?
Yeah.
I think it's a similar kind of principle. Well,
wasn't it
a mixture?
The weight was more when the beak was wet or something like that, and as it went back, it dried.
It's complex enough me having to multitask by actually running radio studios and connect various other bits and pieces together, so I'm not going to try any further from that point of view. We might try and grab a few words with the various other folks. It's quite interesting because I'm looking at, again, at the top there we have the wonderful display of This Is Red Car in Cleveland, which is, it was always great from that point of view, and they put the bunting out especially for us as well, so that's nice.
Well, it is amazing, isn't it, not having ever been here before, and I'm thinking, well, you know, it really is a sort of glorious vista. It must be amazing. And the route here as well. I mean, I've never been up that road before from Whitby up to Redcar, up to here. Mm-hmm. And coming through the countryside there, it is just absolutely stunning. I mean, it really is beautiful. Why do we have to go abroad? Can't we do something about the weather? Can't we sort of have south side?
What's wrong with today?
Today is great. I mean, it's wonderful, isn't it?
Clearly the message is, if you want good weather, then get south side to do an event and it'll all be well.
Absolutely, yes. Yes.
It's fairly simple.
It didn't work too well at the angling fair, did it?
There are always going to be various testing events, and they haven't run an angling fair since at Chatsworth, so I think that's fair enough. That's the one thing where we sort of just offset the whole thing completely through from that point of view, which is brilliant. Well, as I say, I might actually see if we can beckon Ian Stevens into the lift, because he's in deep conversation with Linda Chilvers now. I know he's brought some backing tapes along, and we do actually have one of our lift engineers who's a superlative banjo player. We heard him playing his banjo earlier with a wonderful ditty and a medley and an ode to the wonderful lift that we've got here. Interesting, I've just seen a sign I possibly should have noticed at the start here: in emergency, press top button. Anyway, Jodie, it's not an emergency, but where are we now?
Well, we have Derek Thompson, the racing commentator, is going to be ringing you any minute. Yes.
I love these phone calls, which are virtually inaudible to the listener, but we'll do our best to obviously relay the best we can. So if you'd like to stay in the lift with us then, Jodie, at least we're sorted out from there.
We've got a couple of people waiting to have a chat with you.
We're always quite happy to work with them. I noticed Ian Stevens is there. Whom else have we actually got?
We've got some ladies from the Raw Animal Sanctuary.
We're talking Norma Carrick.
Yes.
And you can ask that question. Raw Animal Sanctuary, what do? Skin them? I don't know, it's a lie. Sorry, it had to be asked. It was asked on air, Stuart. You know, it's an important thing. But the name, it's all challenging.
Yes, so they're waiting in the wings, ready to have a chat.
I think we'll actually be featuring them when we actually come back up again. So we'll sort our way through it. So, Stuart, are you ready here?
It's one of those first occasions, you know. It's like the first radio interview or the first trip abroad.
Stuart was kindly sharing with us a few moments ago.
It'll never happen again.
Her first experience of the whole thing. Yes, indeed. Stuart Easby's official Saltburn funicular lift Cherry has now actually gone, and he's travelling on the thing. It's a momentous time. It's very true. Anyway, he's now sort of over. We'll let him sort of savour the moment and ask him what his feelings are afterward, really. I'm sure there's a whole new concept on the earth moving at this stage. But we do see the other lift railway passing by and working through that scenario. You're corpsing on me, Stuart. I think it's outrageous on that point of view. How many times have we been through these systems as the year proceeds? I'm getting a sense of a really good buzz out there, because obviously I'm in here, as you're well aware, confirming for that, Jodie. What's the sort of feeling like out there?
Oh, everybody's, you know, very excited about this whole thing. And yeah,
are they happy when they've been interviewed?
Yes, they are, very much so. And there's so some people who want to come back and be interviewed again.
Really? Well, as we did say, in fairness, we're more than happy to do sort of follow-ups on future events and activities and so on and so forth. So, brilliant stuff. I'll just grab a word with one of our engineers here, because I'm not obviously leaving the lift, but if I can just beckon him in, and obviously I want a routine. How's it going from your end, sir?
Well, at this moment, it's very quiet.
Mm-hmm.
We opened up early because of this event.
Yeah.
And it's run now 4 times in an hour. So it's very, very quiet at the moment.
All working through, but Paul, I presume the banjo will be coming out in the not-too-distant future.
Well, I do like to play when it's quiet.
Ah.
But if it's busy, which I prefer, it doesn't go out at all. I just concentrate on running this. And when it's busy, you haven't got time to do anything but run this.
So really, actually, we were treated to that special privilege in the early part when you did actually do our ode to the Salt Bump Funicular Lift.
Well, I like that. I wish I'd played it completely right the way through, as I wrote it, but...
We'll get that sorted through, which is fantastic stuff. Excellent. Okay, Stuart, you've just sort of had your experience as the thing, so actually travel down. I mean, I remember as a child travelling on this setup, obviously before it was all refurbished and sorted through, and... lots of happy memories with respect to this whole thing. How did you find the experience yourself?
Well, I think it was a little safer and a little less exciting than being thrown out of an aeroplane or something, or which the gallery is on the card.
In fact, yeah, just to flag up from this whole perspective, we're looking at, hopefully, Stuart heading up to the other routine. I'll just actually move here. We've just been joined by another fine soul from that point of view. Do you want to have a quick word with us on Southside Broadcasting? Would you like to have a quick chat?
Okay.
Just to explain, and this will help with respect to we are currently entering the Guinness Book of Records for the longest running radio show from the Saltburn Funicular Lift. Never been done before, but we started off this morning at 9 a.m. and we continue to do it. Have you any particular thing you'd like to say?
No,
that's all right.
Well, all we can say, it's a godsend for people like us.
Yeah, this is excellent. I mean, gentleman here is actually in a wheelchair, so clearly being pushed up the sort of the side routine would be a bit of a challenge, wouldn't it? Really.
It certainly is. Yeah. It is, yes, yeah. It is.
That's
it. Like I've said, it's a godsend, this, for us.
We've been asking everybody who's sort of joined us so far this morning what their memories of the Saltburn Funicular Lift have actually been. When was the first time you travelled in it?
Oh, it'll be 55 years ago, I would think.
Right, okay.
When I was a child.
And in all that time, you know, you said it's a godsend from that point of view. Did you realise that? I mean, it's a special thing. It's a special thing for Saltburn, isn't it?
It certainly is. It's one of the only things we've got left now in Saltburn.
Well, hopefully it's growing again. That's why we're here from that point of view.
Yeah.
When they're needed, they're needed. When they're needed, they're needed. You can't do without them for some people.
Yeah, that's very true.
There's one in Bergen. It goes up Mount Flyen. Mm. And kids have to go up and down to school with it and things like that. So wherever they are, they're definitely needed badly.
Yeah. It's a really important point. And again, it's great to know that Saltburn was very much world leaders in actually establishing this 130-odd years ago from that point of view.
Was it built by John Anderson?
I think you might well be right. I mean, we need to set our researchers on that particular aspect, but yes.
I think it was, because there's a notice up there, and he built that Alexander Hotel, and he built this, and I think he built Pier as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
He built the Alexandra Hotel to look out onto his pier, what he built. So.
This is great stuff. Now, share with us, what were you doing down by the seaside this morning?
Getting crabs.
Been to see one of my friends to get some crabs off him. He has a boat down here.
Right.
So we bought some beasties to... Okay. Boy, look for a crab salad.
Excellent. Well, I've always actually wanted to travel up in a funicular lift with some crabs for company, so that's always great.
They won't get you, they'll get me if they get anyone.
That's all very good. All sorted through for that. Just keeps the thing together. We're joined by a few other folk as well who are sort of there, and we'll might grab out for the moment. Many thanks indeed.
Thank you very much.
Excellent. Okay, you're listening to Southside Broadcasting and Siren 107.3 FM on location at the Funicular Lift Railway, and again entering into the Guinness Book of Records. Ladies and gentlemen, would you like to just say a quick hello to us? Just a quick hello?
Hello.
Yeah, well, you see, so we are. We're wonderful. It's like a choral choir coming out in that particular side of things there. Brilliant stuff. And anybody like to have a quick chat with me as we head up? Let's just move over to this charming young lady here. So I'll scoot over to this side. And we're currently, I say, doing stuff for Southside Broadcasting. When did you first travel in this lift?
Now.
This is your first time?
Yes.
Well, this is a historic moment. There we are. It's a wonderful activity. And how did you find out about it? Did you sort of walk along?
By chance.
Right, so where have you come from today?
New Opera Summer.
From Suffolk. We've driven from Suffolk, especially to come on this and to visit the pier. We're visiting all the piers in Great Britain.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, and this sounded like this was the most northerly one. Yep. So we've come to visit this.
Which is splendid. So actually, this is your first time on the Saltburn Funicular Railway, and you're live on Southside Broadcasting as well.
Yes.
Brilliant. So how does this compare with the rest of your explorations and piers in the country?
It's absolutely lovely. It's one of the nicest ones that we've been to.
Excellent. Coming obviously from presumably Suffolk land, and then sort of you passed through Skegness and Cromer and the range of other bits and pieces.
Yeah, we called in at Skegness Pier yesterday and Cleethorpes and somewhere else, didn't we? Where was the other one? No.
No, that was it yesterday.
Well, I mean, we acknowledge obviously the joys of Skegness and Cleethorpes, but at the end of the day, there's only one Saltburn by the sea, and obviously you're experiencing that today. Would you like to give your names?
My name's Sue.
Okay. And?
Margaret.
Excellent. Sue and Margaret, absolute delight, sort of touching base with your good self. We've reached the top now. The 55 seconds has wrapped. It's been a splendid interview. And I think it's now a case of we exit with grace. I shall be left in here and we'll take a few other sort of bits and pieces as well. We've got two other fine folk as well who are actually around. Would you like to say quick words as well?
Hello, from Hull, staying at Whitby.
Marvellous. And presumably your husband?
Yes.
Always have to be a little bit careful when I sort of say that, because you never know. Saltburn by the sea and all sorts of things, etc.
Have you celebrated our 25 years last week?
That's fantastic. What a way to celebrate it with respect to the Saltburn.
Yeah, well, Saltburn, but Whitby's our favourite place.
That's brilliant.
Beautiful.
Have you travelled on this lift before?
No.
So, thoughts?
Been to Saltburn before, but not on this.
Right, okay. Yeah. Excellent. So, and have you enjoyed the experience?
Always. Always enjoy every experience around here.